KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. There's a movie from 1993 directed by Taylor Hackford called Blood In, Blood Out. It's a crime drama with some B-movie acting, but it has a cult film status, especially in East Los Angeles, where the film is set.
So what's the difference between East L.A. and L.A.?
It's a whole different country.
Hope it works out better for you here than in Vegas.
It's got to. It's home.
You see the characters passing by colorful street murals, and you see shops and neighborhoods the way they were then. And there's a scene early on where one character is airbrushing a detailed Aztec painting onto the hood of a classic lowrider car.
This is Quetzalcoatl, the great Aztec poet king. He ruled the kingdom of Aztlan, that was from Mexico all the way up here to Califas.
Sexy mamazota.
Pay attention, pelao. I'm gonna teach you all about Aztlan, cause this vato's coming back someday to reclaim the raza's kingdom. Gotcha?
Then a little later, the three main characters take the car on a cruise around the neighborhood.
All right, but this time we gotta go down Brooklyn and Whittier's, eh?
They stop at a tall pine tree on top of a hill.
That tree is East Los to me. It's good to be home.
It's a real tree and still stands in a residential neighborhood between Boyle Heights and East L.A. It's called El Pino, and it's been a local landmark in East L.A. for a long time, but the movie made it even more famous. And just a few weeks ago, Unfictional reporter Jaime Roque was at the base of El Pino to start his own cruise with a guy named Ernie Moran.
Testing 1-2, meeting Ernie for the first time. How you doing? Good to meet you, man. Ernie grew up in East L.A., but his memories from those years are not always good ones. But today we're back, cruising through those same streets in his dream car. Ernie is married with kids and a job during the week, but on the weekends, he goes out cruising. He may go out with friends or with his family. Sometimes he may loan out the car for photo shoots or for quinceañeras. But wherever Ernie goes cruising, people stop to watch him go by.
You got a nice car. I mean, and everyone's just breaking their neck, just looking at the car. Amazing.
This is where it started. East Los Angeles, Boyle Heights.
It's like the Mecca.
Ernie's car is a flawless white 1965 Chevy Impala convertible. The top is down, and the interior of the car is bright red leather and feels as big as a living room. We're moving slowly along the streets, and there's a series of toggle switches on the dashboard to raise and lower the car as we drive.
That's my switch.
So you do that a lot when you're hitting, like going over bumps?
See a speed bump, I'll raise it. I don't scratch anything underneath, in my gas tank or anything.
Yeah.
Or my oil pan. But I like setting it to a ride height, so I can just cruise.
All his life, Ernie has been dreaming of owning a car just like this one.
You know, getting dressed up, ready for the weekend, I would hang out in front of the house and waiting for somebody to pass by. And this guy would come by, this gangster would pass by, and he had a 65 lowrider. And, you know, he'll be bouncing it when he's cruising by. And it was a convertible also, and it was beautiful, man. And ever since then, that set off my aspiration. That was like, I gotta have a 65. That was my dream car. You know, it took me years to get one.
But you got it.
Yes.
Unfictional is KCRW's program of stories and personal documentaries. And in this episode, it's not easy to revisit a difficult past, rehash unpleasant memories. But if you got to do it, at least do it in a 65 Chevy Impala lowrider with the radio blasting. It's Unfictional, and reporter Jaime Roque, and featuring music from the East L.A. band, The Sincers. It's an episode called Lowrider.
Before I head out on my cruise with Ernie, I was going to need some lowrider music to bring along. My first thought was hip-hop, but I consulted an expert.
you definitely see sort of that hip-hop music. But even now, like, when I think about classic sort of lowrider music, that's what it is to me, you know, sort of that classic oldies of the 50s and 60s. Chicano groups out of LA, like Tierra was a big one, and the Midnighters, that they would perform at car shows.
I can only give you love that lasts forever.
So my name is Dr. Denise Sandoval. I am a professor of Chicana and Chicano studies at California State University Northridge.
Chicano culture in East LA is very much about traditions enduring through generations. Lowriders are beautiful classic cars kept alive by new generations. And that same kind of thing happens in music.
You could have anything that you're listening to in your lowrider. I guess you could listen to opera too, right? Or country music. But I think when we sort of think about lowrider music, it is kind of that classic oldies music. It's great to see all these younger bands, Chicano bands, that are sort of honoring those traditions.
I went to visit musician Joey Quiñones in his studio where he records and performs with a few different bands. This is Joey singing with The Sincere's. Just like a lowrider and his car, Joey's studio shows an appreciation to classic design and craftsmanship.
You know, 1969 kind of Ampex microphone preamps and Altec, what they used to have in high school for the teacher and make announcements, and LA 610, heard on so many records from Sam Cooke to Ray Charles to the Mamas and the Papas and stuff like that.
Joey's bandmate is Steve Fontaine.
My grandfather was a clarinet player, and I always really got a kick out of listening to music with him. We'd listen to Louis Prima, we'd listen to Frank Sinatra, we'd listen to a bunch of old jazz tunes, and that really piqued my interest in music, and that's how I started with saxophone.
Born in the Inland Empire, you know, I moved out when I was about 8 or 9. My parents split, ended up with my mom in East LA and her dad. Learned guitar, listened to punk rock music, and got into that as a kid.
The Sincere's are considered a lowrider band, and Joey was exposed to lowrider music at car shows when he was a kid, but it wasn't by choice.
You know, I used to get dragged to those shows from my dad, you know, because my parents split, so, you know, he had us on the weekends, and of course, they have car shows on the weekends, so when he would have us, we'd go to these car shows. The music was always around, whether it was at those shows or at the house. The music's always been kind of like, so like as cliche it says, the soundtrack of my life, you know? We're just playing soul music, to be honest with you, you know? The lyrics Steve writes and the lyrics I write are just soul songs, you know?
Here we are, back with Ernie at El Pino. Sometimes you can hear music from the ice cream man across the street. Meanwhile, Ernie was giving me the full tour of his car.
All right, Ernie. Here's... Tell me everything about your baby love.
All right. So here we got a 1965 Chevy Impala convertible Super Sport with a 327 engine. I have an upgraded transmission, 700R turbo with overdrive. Riding with air ride system. I got front, back, side to side.
That means the car can hop and move from all four sides.
Traditionally, lowriders run 13-inch, 14-inch wheels, spoke rims. Right now, I'm rolling with the classic look. You know, you get a lot of attention with this look because it looks originally like it did back in 1965 when they came out. Impala's trademark is their three taillights. But to me, the 65 is the best of all. Again, look at how sexy they look. Nice, yeah. Beautiful, they stick out, nice and round, perfect. I mean, you just take a step back and you just stare and you can gaze into her eyes, really. Yeah. So I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I named my car, her name is Eileen.
Oh, Eileen. No, so, you didn't mention it, now we know.
So Eileen, you know, Eileen like a cholo, you know, Eileen back, you know. It's my baby Eileen.
The whole time Ernie was showing me the car, other people were stopping to stare and take pictures.
Got a nice little crowd forming around
us. Let me show you the trunk.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. Thank you.
See, look at people posing with the car and everything.
Beautiful, huh?
Beautiful, yeah.
Love it. That's how you keep this cultura going.
Yeah.
This culture, it's like never ending. Pass it on to other people.
It's been living for this long, and it keeps on going.
And this has been going on since the 60s, brother.
I think you have to go back to the history that obviously lowriding was really part of the post-World War II boom in car culture that hit the United States. The cars become a way to celebrate what it means to be American, right? And for especially post-World War II is the birth of all this like drag races, demolition derbies, cruising, right? Like almost every community has this central artery of cruising that youth, right, working class youth began to participate in. It crossed all boundaries, right, of race, ethnicity, class. So hot rod culture picked up in the 1930s, which again, you know, was about raising your car, the back of your car up, you know, putting flames, was about going fast. You know, low riders to get the opposite aesthetics, or what I like to say, the oppositional aesthetics to hot rodding, is it took it low to the ground and it was about going slow. You're using your aesthetics to be seen, right? You want people to look at your car because they're looking at you. They're looking at their community.
So switches are hydraulics, which to me, low riding is hydraulics. Hydraulics, three-wheel motion, hopping it. You got your batteries in the trunk, you got your pumps. But to each his own, I didn't want to cut her up. Hydraulics, you got to do a lot of modification as far as cutting. You got to cut your frame. You got to cut through the metal to run your pistons through. Here, air ride, you take out your spring, you put an airbag in there, which they call it air springs. Again, to each his own, everybody, there's an argument there. Air ride is for sissies or for girls or, you know, there's an argument. But at the end of the day, you know, my baby's still one piece. My frame's not bent. Yeah. We're on our way.
It's Ernie and me, along with my friend Bosco, who was taking pictures. We got in the car to head to Whittier Boulevard.
Head down Whittier?
Whatever you want, baby.
Let's do it, fool.
Let's go.
We drove slowly down the street. Ernie put down the convertible top.
Nice, there you go.
Everyone was looking at us as we drove by. At one point, we went by a group of motorcycle gang members, like something out of that TV show Mayans. They watched us drive by in Ernie's lowrider, and a couple of them gave just a slight nod of approval.
Just get that nod of approval. Did they? Yeah, they're just like this.
Like giving you that respect with as minimal as possible.
Yeah.
You see these families that come and they're almost giving you a hug and a kiss, telling you how beautiful your car is. But between us, Chicanos, Raza, we have pride. And you're lucky you get a nod. You know what I mean? My last time.
After that, we drove to the brand new 6th Street Bridge, crossing from Boyle Heights to the LA Arts District. The old historic bridge was more famous, but it's falling apart.
You got the new bridge right there.
Yeah.
So at the end of this bridge, you make a right. I don't know if you're familiar where Hollenbeck Tow Yard is. So right next door, my grandmother used to have a house. Right now, it's an empty lot, but she had property right there. A big house.
Did you want to pass by your old house?
Oh, 4th Street? Yeah, we're passing it right. It was right here. So this was the entrance. These are the projects used to be. See where that white car is at?
Yeah.
Around right there is where my grandfather used to live. Oh, see, now they're apartments. Before it was projects. So this is all new. Yeah, this is
legit. Now they look like little townhomes.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like apartments now or something. Yeah. They knocked them down. It's all changed over here. This was bad before, back in the days. My dad went to prison for the rest of his life. And I grew up without a father, but I didn't want my kids to grow up without a father. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could tell you a story. I remember living with my grandfather. When my dad got busted, I was living with my grandfather right there. And I'll never forget this, sleeping 1, 3, 2 in the morning. I hear some guys fighting in the back. Yeah. Through the window, I could hear somebody fighting. And I heard a commotion, arguing, whatever. Next thing I hear, I could hear the grunts from someone getting stabbed. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
How old were you?
First grade, I remember. So yeah, 6, 7 years old.
You know, the car becomes a way to escape the limits of race and class. You can take your car outside of your neighborhood. It allows a sense of liberation and freedom. The car really becomes a template to express what it means to be American.
I'm second generation Mexican, Chicano. My dad, you know, he had his GTO, I remember, when I was a kid. And then my grandfather had his Chevy. But as far as the low riding scene and teaching me how to build a car, nah, I picked this up on my own. Obviously, I wasn't around in the early 70s when the low riding scene kicked off, but I was around in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, cruising down Whittier Boulevard or go to Hollywood Boulevard, and cruising scene was big, but it wasn't like it is now.
So it's bigger now?
Oh, man.
Really?
Now, man, I could say you guys, we could go cruising and have a good time. I could take my family. I could take my kids. Everybody else is taking their families. And it ain't no big thing, man. And nothing but love. I mean, when I was gangbanging back in early 90s, you know, we go to Whittier Boulevard and we pull up to another neighborhood. It's on. You know what I mean? Where you from? Blah, blah, blah. Words exchanged. We don't get along. Shit happens. Now?
It's not like that anymore.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, there's grown men over there and have egos and stuff like that. Or something might be said, but... Hey, let's take a walk. Handle it back there. Don't be doing that bullshit around here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there was always these negative perceptions of lowriders as like gangs on wheels, cholos gone wild, right? Hollywood definitely contributed to that. As I knew that there was more to that story, right? That a lot of these lowriders, they're not gangs. You have lowrider kart clubs that have like 3-4 generations of lowriders in them, right? So it's like also a family tradition that's being passed on. And when you would talk to lowriders, they kind of said the same thing. You know, lowriding is about family. It's about honor, respect, pride. It's about carnalismo, brotherhood.
It's a respect thing, exactly. You know, yeah. Especially now that there's families out there, man. You're sitting there, you can pull up your folding chairs and just kick it, bring out a nice chest and have a good time. It's like having a barbecue in the Cayenne on Whittier Boulevard.
Nice.
You know, and you go to these car shows and man, it's just, it's a blessing, brother. Like, times have changed. No more all that gangbang bullshit and no more where you from or no more people blasting each other.
They always talk about lowriding as a way of life. Like, that's deep. Right, because you think about what makes up a way of life, it's so intense, right? But I think it's about community, it's about those human relationships that are happening around these beautiful cars.
Nowadays, building cars should be a lot easier because we got your internet. You know, you could shop for parts on the internet. Back in the days, a lot of the veteranos and stuff were building cars from scratch. They would have to travel state to state to go pick up a part, you know, or have to wait for the Pomona swap meet, which is every 3 months. You know what I mean? They didn't have that Facebook, that Instagram to be able to shop on the market. We're blessed with that. Yeah. A lot of times, I got my buddies, eh? I call them, they're my YouTube, my Google search. Yeah. You know, my homie's Isaiah, I'm always on the phone. Sometimes while I'm doing it, he's walking me through it. All right, you see that boat? You're gonna need a number 15 wrench. You gotta take it off like this. And he walks me through it as I'm doing it. And so much love to that motherfucker, eh? Yeah. For him having the patience of doing that while he's at work. Hey, hold on, dog. I'll call you back. I got a phone call. And then he'll call me back. All right, where are you at? And then my camarada Chris, he does the same thing with me. Eh? Ernie, this is how you do it. Ernie, this is how you're going to do it. Ernie, all right, I'll be at your pad tomorrow.
At one point, the three of us stopped for lunch at El Tepeyac.
Right now, I'll tell you this good story. Over lunch. We're going to eat here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Do it. As soon as we got out, Ernie was getting compliments on the car again.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Do you keep it under a glass case when you drive it home?
Keep it in her room, which is her garage, and I have her covered all night.
With air conditioning, too.
Dehumidifier and an air filter.
Inside the restaurant, Ernie told us a story about how he got clean after his teenage years in gangs and how his lowrider changed his life.
I got 9 years.
Well, congrats, bro.
Yeah, so this August is my 10th year.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's harder. Everybody's different. Me personally, I stopped on a dime. I stopped from one day to the next.
cold turkey, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Cold sweats, my Leon's fucking, you know, hiding in your room for 5-6 days, sweating it out. Now, got my car. We bought our first pad in 2002, me and my old lady, and it worked out for me, man. It was beautiful. It was the best thing that's ever happened to us. Getting a lowrider in the family just helped us bond better, like, between my wife, my son. I got one son, 4 daughters. It brings us together, you know, getting dressed up and going for a cruise, you know, getting in the car and, all right, we're going for a cruise today. Oh, babe, there's a car show today. Let's go. Family jumps in. My youngest daughter, she gets all dressed up. You know, she throws on her Charlie Brown. She does her hair. It's beautiful. It's a blessing. And then my son sitting shotgun with me, it's a feeling indescribable.
After lunch, we head out for the final part of our cruise with Ernie.
Don't worry. So, hey, we're going to go back the other way right now. Ooh. It looks like everybody's already trickling over there.
All right.
So I don't know if you guys are in a hurry.
No, I'm good.
I don't know if you guys have a hot date or anything. We'll take a deep cruise down with her, and we'll head back.
All right, cool.
As we drove along cruising low, Ernie and his Chevy Impala kept attracting attention. It was in the same neighborhoods where he had lived through some of his darkest moments. But now he was behind the wheel.
Homie from the hood, you know, cruising around in a convertible lowrider, going down Whittier, like you're saying, getting all these nods. That's beautiful to me, man. I never would have thought, like, fucking after gangbanging and then raising a family, getting married, and then doing this. Damn, kid from the streets, you know, homies from the calles. Who would have thought I'd be doing an interview, a photo shoot, you know, cruising around East Los. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, bro.
It's
good
to meet you, man. I'm sure we'll do something
again. For Unfictional, I'm Jaime Roque.
The Lowrider was produced by me, Bob Carlson, and Jaime Roque. Thanks to Ernie Moran and Dr. Denise Sandoval. This episode featured music from Joey Quinones and The Sincere's. Thanks to Tony Boniata of Pavement PR. If you like this program, please subscribe to Unfictional for more interesting and heartfelt true radio stories. Find it wherever you get your podcasts and tell your friends about the program if you liked it. Plus, you can always listen to over 10 years' worth of weird, disturbing, and oddly hilarious stories from the Unfictional Archive at kcrw.com. I'm Bob Carlson, the producer of Unfictional. The associate producer is Anna Buss. KCRW's content director for culture is Aniel Zuberi Fields. Episode graphics by Alex Cirilla. Theme music by Alex Weston, with music help from Joe Augustine and Narrative Music. Please join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.